Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, welcome everyone to the show. Just give me 1 second. Sis, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure because sometimes you never know. Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for having us. Thank you for always supporting us. I'm glad that this show has finally come to pass, if you will, because this lady is amazing that we're going to interview. And so when I say thank you for having us, I appreciate you because the queue is always full. So that's like you guys are inviting us into your world, and we really do appreciate it. I checked our stats, our numbers this morning, and since Shell and I have been, and I've had a lot of radio hosts over the years. Listen, since she and I have been doing radio together, we've had over 50,000 listeners, and we're not consistent. We're not. We're like PRN. It's like as needed. Yes, over 50,000 people have listened to us since we've been on. And like I said, I've had all kinds of people co-host with me, and just it doesn't usually work out. So us as a team, it's a great thing. And like I said, thank you for having us because you invited us into you let us come into your world for 2 hours. Usually at a time, and we are grateful. I had no idea that many people had listened to us over the years, so thank you guys very much. I'm not going to bring our lady in yet, and we also have a brother of mine that's going to come on at some point in the show to give out some tips to the families who are listening. Now, let me just give you guys a few disclaimers. I'll go as quickly as I can. First of all, the number is 646-478-5265. That's our call-in number. I was going to open up the chat room, change my mind. Not going to do that. I'm old school, like I always say. So I have two monitors in front of me and I have speakers in front of me. And I can't assume that you guys are not doing the same thing like I am. Some people might like, you know, do what I do, which probably is not the case nowadays in 2021. People are probably on their cell phones, driving around, things of that nature. But I'm in front of my computer literally with speakers in front of me. So if you are doing the same as I am, turn your speakers all the way down. That way we will not get any kind of feedback. Because if you turn them up while the radio was taking place, we'll get feedback, so don't, okay? Children, we love the kids love us, we love them. However, this is adult radio, we cannot be responsible for anything that your children hear that comes out of our mouths. So I'm just letting you know right now, either move away from them or the other way around. Just separate yourself from kids, please. We do not want to be responsible for that. We love them, though, but you have to get away from them right now. And also, just be mindful of your time on a mic. I'm not going to give the amount of minutes that, you know, some wholesale, you can only have 3 minutes. I don't do that. Just be mindful that other people want to talk. So just don't hog up the mic. Don't try to say a life story while you're on the microphone. Okay, that's it from me. Again, the number 646-478-5265. Again, thank you guys for listening to my disclaimers that I always have to give out to you guys. And again, thank you for having us. We do appreciate it. And the queue is full. So this lady is obviously, you know, she's popular. Her people love her because this queue is very full. And thank you guys for listening to us, as always. Sis, you with
me? Yeah.
You hear me, right?
Yes,
okay,
loud
so,
and clear.
You know, I wanted to touch on briefly, and I want her to come into this too when I begin her questions. You know, our life is unusual, or maybe to some. I don't know. It's hard. There's beauty in it. There's pain in it. We chose it, you know. And when you MWI met while incarcerated, this is not a person that you knew prior. So this is someone that you met while they were already inside. And so that's different. And, you know, there's judgments there, whatever. But I know for sure, and I was thinking about this today, it's definitely not a perfect situation. Like I said, there's pain in it. There's beauty in it. Beauty in it. There's laughter, sadness, a whole bunch of stuff in it. But if I could press rewind, I would do it all over again. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I have no regrets. My husband is great. And, you know, I don't have any regrets. You know, I will say that, you know, this life is not for the weak. And I say that respectfully. You have to learn and you have to have a handle on yourself emotionally to be able to deal with the disconnects that happen when you are with someone who's incarcerated. Things happen, you know, lockdowns and all that type of stuff and, you know, just unrest at the facilities and all that type of stuff. So you have to be a strong individual to handle, you know, the type of life that we have because we don't have, I like to call our relationships extraordinary, because we don't do this under ordinary circumstances. So, you know, it's a lot that goes into that, because when you pledge to be in a relationship with someone that's behind the wall, you're taking on not just the responsibility of yourself, but the responsibility of the person that you love. And that's a big responsibility. So
right. This
definitely is not for the weak.
Huge. Definitely not for the weak. Absolutely. And thank you. I love how you worded that. It is not for the weak. Everybody cannot handle this. And I say, if you know you cannot, just be honest. And
right.
just, you know, exit left or exit right, respectfully. Don't try to hang on
right.
to something that you know you can't handle, because this hard, it's difficult. And we've been through a lot of trials, you and I. And you've cried with me, you've hung in there with me, and I've done the same for you. And you'll continue to do that, and I will too, because we don't know what, from day to day, we don't know what's going to happen. So
right.
I appreciate you for that, sis. Thank you, because this is, like you said, it's not for the week. Okay, so this lady that's joining us was actually not that far from me. I didn't realize that when I first met her. But she's a singer. She's in our situation. But I'll let her tell her story. I won't tell it for her. And her song is so sweet. It's so catchy. It's so, we can relate to it pretty much every word. And I'll play that a little bit later. But I want to bring her on the mic right now so she can start talking to us and telling us about herself. Give me 1 second. Nadia, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey.
How are you? Welcome.
Hey. Good. How are you? Thank you.
Oh, we're great. Thank
you
for
welcome.
Hanging out with us. Oh, my God. We appreciate that.
No, thank y'all for having
Definitely.
Me. Definitely. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're so welcome. Okay. So I may not get to every question, because I also – Omar is going to come in a little bit later to do something that I think is very necessary. And I love this cue because it's full. And I want you ladies in the family to really listen to him and listen to what he has to offer to us, because this is a tricky situation, because now since COVID, I don't know if you guys realize this, but like all the people that we had to go to prior, they're gone. I don't know if they quit. I don't know if they're just hiding. But all those go-to people that we had a while ago, they have seemed to disappear. So I can't wait for him to come on and tell us, you know, that chain of command. Like, what do we do? What do we do first? What do we do second? But we'll get to that in a little bit. Omar, just give us a little bit. Nadia, I'm curious right now about who you're listening to. Who are you listening to? I just listened to, and I didn't mean to play Indie Irie, the song I had planned, because that's just what Blog Talk Radio does to me. It wouldn't play. So I ended up clicking on Indie Irie, whom I love, but that's just not who I wanted to listen
right.
to right now. Today I was going to play Jill Scott. Who are you listening to right now?
Fantasia, definitely Fantasia's on my playlist. I love her. Fantasia, her.
Yeah,
I love her. I don't know, I just love R&B, but Fantasia's definitely in my top. I listen to her. I love Mary J. Blige. I listen to Jill Scott a little bit, but I can listen to Fantasia all day. Like, she's just my number one.
Yeah,
I love Fantasia.
I listened to Free Yourself. I think that's the name of it, Free Yourself, today.
Yeah, on the album. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think she has
listen,
a song.
Listen, Fantasia's
song
called Girl.
Listen, she takes me there every time. Every single
all
time.
All the time.
Right.
Okay.
Every
so I understand.
Time. Yeah. Every time.
Every
yeah,
time.
Like, yeah. If you
ready definitely
to get your
number
cry
one.
On, if you want to get your cry
she
on,
just had her baby.
Make sure you listen.
That's right. I'm telling you, listen to Fantasia. And then Free Yourself at the
right.
end. She like screams. You can't scream. You can't scream like Fantasia. Like the way she screams, but it's a beautiful scream. You know you're going to cry when she starts screaming.
Right.
Listen, it's,
right.
believe me, so I get it. I do get it.
Yeah.
Okay,
I love
so
her.
Let me ask you this. Me too. We do too. Your inspiration for writing your music, what do you do? Like, some people may go to the beach, or maybe they'll go to the park, or they'll look at, you know, movies, or just your personal life. What exactly is your inspiration specifically? Well, I guess you can't say exactly, because I know it's a range, but what do you
right.
use for inspiration to write your music?
Real life, honestly, like either real life, like what I'm going through, or maybe people around me, kind of their situations, maybe, but mostly it's just me. And then I love to just sit in my car and write. Like, that's just my zone. That's just my time. I can just sit in my car all night writing. So that's just how I write. But everything I write is just real life, or I know somebody going through the situation, but 90% of the time is just me. So, and like stuff I'm going through. So that's how I write my music. But that's it, really. I just get the inspiration from stuff I'm going through at the moment, or how, and if I'm really in a zone or how I'm feeling in that moment, then I'll just write about it and put it on paper. I think that's the best therapy for me. I just put my feelings on paper, and then I just turn it into a song.
Okay. I wish I could write songs and sing them, you know, so that's the talent, right. Like, that I really wish I could have, because I'd kill people if they heard me singing, they'd run. But, you know, everybody doesn't
right.
have that, but it's not meant for everyone. You know, that's not everybody's job. So you do a great job at it, by the way.
Thank you.
Like my sis and I, you're very welcome. You're MWI like us. You don't have to go into
correct.
Details. But what gave
right.
you the courage? Because like we mentioned, it's not for the weak. It's not easy. I see mine on a queue. I see him. It's not easy. Now, I know he's hearing me. I'm not going to mess with him today too much because I know he's not feeling that great, but I know you heard that. But
right.
it's not easy, not for the weak. What gave you the courage to pursue this? Because, you know, there have been times when I'm like, am I crazy? Like, I must be bugging out. Like, what am I? You know, but there's courage with that. What gave you the courage to pursue this and to stick with it, this kind of relationship?
Honestly, I mean, him as a person, I guess, because he's really consistent. So his consistency made me kind of like get with him, be with him, and stick with him. His consistency, because consistency is everything. But this life is not for the weak. And I don't have my moments where I was like, what the hell? But I don't have a lot of those moments. You know what I'm saying? And he makes it easy, too. So... with that being said, it just was easy. Like, the consistency came in, and it stuck, and he was just very consistent. So that made it very easy. Like, it made it easy to be in a relationship. He just made it really easy, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. And I think we, Shell and I, can both agree to that. We can understand that. Because everybody, you know, and everyone behind the wall is not sincere. So when you do
right.
get that. Sincerity, you know, it's very important, that consistency, that person who is, you know, definitely sincere. It makes it so
right.
much easier. Also, have you been judged?
Yeah. Yes, I have. I mean, I'm just the type of person that I don't really care what people have to say, like, because it's my life, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, and yeah, I get it. You get questions a lot, like, why are you with this person? Why are you with somebody locked up? Or, you know, they come and say, you're a pretty girl. Why are you with somebody locked up? Or you got a lot going for yourself. Why are you with somebody locked up? And I just, locked up or not, like, it just doesn't matter to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only difference is he's just not home. Like, so the judgment I really don't care about, because it's going to come. He back there, I'm going to get judged. When he comes home, I'm going to get judged. Like, we're going to always get judged. I just don't care. You know what I'm saying? I think that's just the difference with
yeah.
me and a lot of people going through this situation. I just don't care. Because that's my man. That's not your man. So I don't get why you judging me, because you don't have to deal with him. Like, you're not in a relationship with him. I am. So if I'm okay with it, then nothing should be said. Like, nobody should have anything to say. But it doesn't matter to me, though. I get a lot of love, too, though.
And people should
but
just mind their business.
Comes,
people
okay.
should just mind their business. You know, and that's,
yeah,
yeah,
they should,
I
but
agree.
They don't.
Yeah. They don't. They don't.
They don't.
But that's okay.
They
it's
don't.
Our lives. We have to live them. And that's just all there is to it. I'm going to play your song for everyone.
Right.
Okay, and then after that, I'll continue
thank you.
With our conversation. You're very welcome.
Boy, you always on my mind, all the time. Boy, I'm always waking up, reaching out for you. Boy, you always on my mind, all the time. know you've been, but I'm glad I got you now. And ever since we got together, I've been holding you down. Don't mean it to my own home, but let me fix my crown. Because I do the damn thing, cause if you need it, I'm gon' get it. And that's the thing with you, cause if I want it, you gon' get it. Nobody gotta understand our vibe, ayy. Nobody gotta understand our ride. I spent so much time keeping money on the phone. I did that so you never ever have to feel alone. That's about to be a wrap, cause you on the way home, ayy. Cause you on the way home, yeah. Boy, you always on my mind, all the time. Boy, I'm always waking up, reaching out for you. Boy, you always on my mind. I'm thinking, God, we almost done with this bit. I really don't know how we did it, but we did. When everybody asks me, I just tell them we the shit. Because we knocked them days down. You gave me time, I gave you mine. Them letters never stop, yeah, I was in a busy line. No matter what nobody got to say, I'ma be riding for you, screaming free, babe. The best boy, you always on my mind, all the time. Boy, I'm always waking up, reaching out.
Love that. Like, I could listen to that all day. I'm going to reconnect you guys right now. Give me 1 second. Oh, shoot. Oh, no. What I just did. Oh, God. Nadia, that is beautiful. Your song is beautiful.
Thank you. Oh, thank
yes.
you.
Yes. You are so welcome. And my sister and I, we get it. The words are perfect for
right.
us, like everything.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, I could listen to that like I was in Walmart listening to it out loud. And I guess I had to, they were watching, like, looking. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty. It's beautiful. It's catchy. And it's relatable. And we definitely get it. And let me ask you this. I know your situation was the inspiration, but are you surprised by your own lyrics? Like, were you surprised that you were able to come up with that or not really?
You said, was I surprised about the lyrics I came up with?
Yeah, like, were you surprised that, how you pulled that together and made it so perfect,
I mean,
your situation,
yeah,
and not just your
yeah,
situation,
I,
but a lot of people's situation?
Yeah, like, honestly, like, when I'm listening to the song or I'm watching the video or whatever I'm doing, I have to rewind it a couple times. So sometimes I'll be like, damn, I did that. Like, that sounds so good. Like, I'll keep rewinding it. Or sometimes I'll just go back to certain parts in the song and be like, dang, how I came up with that. Like, the whole toot my own horn, fix my crown. I'm like, damn. Like, okay. So, sometimes doing that whole process was always, I was stuck on that song, like, how the heck did I come up with that? Because I do write, so I know I can write my behind off, but just when it came to always and the stuff I came up with and how I worded it in my different bars and everything, I was just like, dang, girl, like, yeah. So I was shocked. But,
yeah.
And it turned out better than I thought, but, yeah, I was a little shocked. Some of the lines still get me, but, yeah, it's my baby. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song, and you, it inspires a lot of us. I don't know how many people heard it, getting tongue-tied, and that's what I do. Sorry, y'all, I do get tongue-tied. I do get choked up sometimes, so I do about that. But that song is it's just what it is. It's radio, and it's live. We're live. We're not recording anything and then playing it later. This is what it is right now, and that's why we believe in quality radio. And whatever, the flaws will come. It'll happen because we're not perfect, but we do believe in quality radio because anyone can come back later and listen, so it's important for us to make sure that, you know, whatever we say and whatever we're doing is, you know, is quality. But your song
right.
is an inspiration to a lot of us, and it's an inspiration to a lot of women who are in our situation. And that song, I can't wait to be able to, like, hear it, like, you know, like it to be recorded, like, you know, in a studio so that people can
right.
hear you and know that they're not alone, because it's a lonely world that we have. This is not, it's just, it could be very lonely. It could be very, you know, you don't have a lot of people to discuss it with, you know, because everybody doesn't
right.
get it. So
I
look forward
right.
to that being,
get that.
They don't, they really don't. And it's okay. It's our choice, but you know, it's lonely. That's why we have each other. And my sister and I, we always open our arms to whoever needs us, because we know that it can, it, you may have that moment. We always say, listen, if you need us, inbox us, because you might need to scream and shout and cry and cuss. We got you on that, because it's,
right.
it's like that. Let me ask you this. How far do you intend to go musically? How far do you want to go?
Well, I'm going to go very, very far. Like,
that's right.
I'm
the
just
claim it.
I'm
right.
taking there. Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm going to go far with my music. Like, whether it's me, you know, in the booth, or me writing for others, because like I said, I know I can write. Like, that's something I do very, very, very well. So I'm going to go far when it comes to this music, whether it's me in the booth and my project, or me just writing for other artists. But I am going to go far in this music. There's just no doubt about it. I'm just waiting on my time.
Yeah, and it's coming. It's soon. It's coming, definitely.
Yeah.
I know your loved one is honored that you wrote that song with him in mind. How does he feel? What did he say? What's his words? Was he shocked? Was he honored? How did he feel about that?
He's when it comes to my music, he's supportive. So when he heard Always, because I told him like what I wanted to do with it, because I heard the beat for a minute, and then I just couldn't figure out what I wanted to do with the beat. And then when I wrote it, you know, I sent it to him, because I, you know, he listens to everything. So he heard it and he was like, yeah, like that's nice, you know, like he liked it. And then I mean, I don't really know what else to say. He just liked my music. And he's
yeah.
up on me, too, when it comes to my music, just, like, in a more loving way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, nah, or I don't know about that one, or try this or do better. So when it comes to my music, he's really supportive. But Always was definitely, I mean, and Always was the, all my other songs did really good, but Always is doing the best. Like, that's, this song is doing the best any of my other songs I've ever done. Like, views, I'm talking about this from views to people listening to it and iTunes and everything. Like, this song is doing the best out of all my other songs. So he's definitely proud. But I mean, whatever I do musically, he supports, he'd be with it. So,
and he's honest with you. He's honest. Yeah, honesty is important.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, it is.
As we know, it's not, like we mentioned earlier, this life isn't easy. It's not for everyone. And if we allow it, and this is all of us. Well, let me not say that, because I can't speak for everyone, but if we allow it, it can dominate our entire lives. Like, if we allow it, it can take up a lot of space in our minds, our hearts, our movements, our decisions. And as an artist, as a mom, as a woman that loves someone who is incarcerated, how do you maintain your balance? What do you do to step away from it? Because you can't, listen, if you, like I said, if you allow yourself, it could drive you mad. And, you know, we don't want any of us that, you know, but what do you do to maintain your balance?
I don't know. And I guess me being a planner, like, that helps, because I'm a planner. Like, I'm just not kind of a wing it kind of tick. So I'm a planner. So everything is just planned for me. And then I'm a Libra, too. So I balance very well. So I'm able to work, be a mom, take care of my three, make sure he's okay, find time for my music, find time for everything I want to do. I don't know. I just try to stay busy and stay positive. Like, that's the main key as well. Like, I just try to stay busy, and I just try to make sure everything is good. I just put everything in order. Like, first and foremost, my kids, that's off top. And then everything
right.
else just falls into place. Like, I make sure my kids are handled first and foremost. And then once I know they're okay and handled, then everything else falls into place, from anything he needs or I need to put into my music or myself or my career or whatever, everything else just falls into place. So I've been real lucky for it to
yeah.
turn out how it is, because I know some women, it's tough. And I don't know how I do it sometimes with three kids, you know, him being back there and then me trying to do music and trying to get situated. He's almost home, so I threw that on my plate. So I don't know how I do it sometimes. Sometimes I really have to just pat myself on the back because I'm doing a damn good job, you know? But I don't know.
Excellent job. And as women, we just have superpowers like that. That's just how we do it. That's just how we are. We can do a lot of different things, you know, and make it look easy. Even if on the inside we're breaking down and wanting to cry and wanting to fall apart, you know, we just got it like that. That's just not everybody. Let me take that back. Every woman is not built like that. But for the most part,
right.
We have our priorities in order. We know for sure how to handle it. Okay, one last, and I want you to hang out with us because I want you to hear Omar later. And you guys are like,
okay.
This queue is so full. I need to take a picture of it so you can see it. Thank you all. Like I said, thank you for having us always into your lives because sometimes I'm surprised. Like I said, Shell and I do radio. We so trifling. Like, we could be so much better. Like, we do it, you know, as needed when things pop up. But every time we come on here, this queue is so full, and we are so grateful. And I know a lot of these people, most of them are here for you, Nadia. Your people are supporting you. And I can see them.
Yeah, they are.
And I appreciate you guys for supporting her today, definitely. Let me ask you this. What advice do you have for women who are open to being in a relationship like this? Okay, we kind of touched on it, but I do want you to repeat it if you can. Women who are considering this life, is there any advice? Me personally, let me just real quick. I don't recommend it. I just don't.
Right.
I don't try to hook up.
Right.
I'm not that one to try to hook you up with them. I'm not going to do it. If that's what happens, I'm happy for you and I'll ride with you. But I'm not that one that's going to be like, hey, I know so-and-so at so-and-so camp. His ID number is so-and-so. He's level 5. I'm just not that, you know, I'm not doing that. That's just on me. But there are a lot of women who are open to this. The women that you know of or who you may come across that are open to this, what advice do you have for them?
Honestly, only do it if you really, 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 really are certain that you can do this because it takes a lot. Like, it takes a lot. God, it takes a lot. It takes a lot. So, like, if this is something that you want to do or you really want to talk to somebody incarcerated, just make sure that this is what you want to do because it's a lot of lonely nights. It's a lot of tears. It's a whole lot of tears. It's a whole lot of lonely nights. It's a whole lot of judgment. It's a whole lot of being like, it's just a whole lot of everything on you. Like, make sure, because when you say this is not for the weak, this is not for the weak. Like, I commend so many women that's like holding their dudes down. They got, like, you know, long sentences of life because it's not easy. So if it's something that you really want to do, think about it long and hard because it can be done. I'm not saying nobody can't do it. Tough job. But if he worth it and you know you can do it, like, and then the end result going to be lit. You know what I'm saying? Like, once he come home and y'all together finally, then it'll be worth it. But only get in it if you sure that's what you want to do, because it's not. I think sometimes prison girlfriends or prison wives, like, we make it look cute sometimes, because I'm not saying it's cute like that. But you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's like, oh, visitation or, oh, you know, just stuff that prison girlfriends or wives go through. So people think, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? It's not all that, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
my sister knows exactly what you're saying. I know she's listening to you.
Right.
Said, sis, can you hear that? What
she
saying?
Don't need that.
They try to make it like in Hollywood. Like, it's a reality
right,
show. Like,
right, it's not.
Listen.
Right, and it's not.
Look,
like, there's
nothing glamorous
hell.
About this.
Y'all about to start me up, because you already know how that did something to me. Y'all about to start
me up. As soon as she said it, I was like, I know she can hear this. I know she's hearing this loud and clear.
Yeah.
And it's women that it's not glamorous. It's hard.
It's not at all.
But
it's not.
You do.
And some of them really act like
women that seek it. They seek it. And I have seen women. You know, one of the things about these type of relationships that I've seen, and it's, you know, as extraordinary and what I like to call the romantic side. And the romantic side is what you see when you get the beautiful cards and the mail and the letters that smell good and, you know, the pictures and visitation and all that good stuff. That's the romantic side. You know, that's what I like to call the romantic side. That's what people, they look at as, you know, as a base or like it's going to be like that all the time. It's not like that all the time because you're dealing with an individual who's not able. I mean, we have the choice to disconnect from things. If we don't want to talk, we just don't answer the damn phone. If we don't want to be bothered, right. You just can't come to my house. But they are in a situation that they are forced to be around everything, and you got a bunch of guys, a bunch of testosterone, a bunch of moods, and this, that, and the third. And, you know, you have to sometimes you get that end of the deal. And it's not because they're meaning to do it. It's just that the only outlet that they have besides that is you, which brings me to my next point. And my next point is that some women that we've met in this journey are two chain gang, as I like to say. And what I mean by two chain gang is the fact that they know that this CO works on this type of day. This CO goes with that dude, and it's a lot. They get so engulfed in what, you know, just all of that. These guys and these girls that are behind the wall, they don't want that. They look to you as a point of, quote-unquote, yeah, escape. They need you to be – they want to be exposed to something, yeah, other than what they see. So they don't want to hear, oh, yeah, boy, it's 4D, go to see what it works at night. They don't want to hear that. And like I said, they just make it. Like, I've seen women who have, like, this whole little thing, like, they hook people up. And I'm like, what? What? Really? Hook somebody up? But you'll be surprised what we've experienced on this journey. And it's been, like I said, laughter. It's been tears. I mean, it's just been a lot. Would I go through it again? Absolutely. Like I said, my husband is great. And, you know, even, you know, he gets on my damn nerves sometimes. I'm not going to even sit here and try to sugarcoat it because this is real. You know, he's the sweetest man in the world, but, again, he's a human. And sometimes I love him to death, and then sometimes I'm like, you know what, I could drive there and choke his ass out and come right back home, and I'd be okay. But,
right.
But, you know, like I said, it comes with the good and the bad of any relationship. And like I said, these are real people that are behind the wall, and you have to be careful about their feelings. So like you said, you have to really be committed because if you know, and that's just a typical you, if you have a man that's going through it with his wife or fiance or girlfriend or whatever, and then they're arguing, and then all of a sudden somebody else steps on his shoe or, you know, takes a tray by mistake, then you got a damn war. You know, you got folks fighting and a lot. So you just have to be careful because these guys and girls are behind the wall and they don't have the proper avenues to express their frustrations. They got to oftentimes keep it inside. And then when they do, it usually is a violent reaction because it's like a compound effect on their minds and their spirits. So, again, like you said, this is not for the weak. You have to be responsible, you know, when it comes to another person's feelings. It's good and it's bad, isn't it? It's pain, you know, it's lonely nights, it's misunderstandings, it's all of those things. But, you know, that's with any type of relationship. But, you know, as far as me, would I go hooking people up? Hell no. But, right, you know, if you are in a situation that's what you so choose to do, then, like I said, yeah, my inbox is always open. I support 100%.
Oh, that's right. We got you. We got you. And that's real. You know, we realize that there are women that don't have anybody else to go to with this, and we're open.
Right.
I'm not us, inbox us. I'm not hooking you up, though. You're going to have to find that man on your own. I'm just not that one. But, you know, and I'm in it. Hell, check me out. But I just know that I'm not going to hook that person up. What I did forget to mention to you guys earlier is that if you have, because there's somebody that wants to ask a question right now. Omar, I got you. Just give me a couple of minutes. If you want to say anything to us or Nadia, hit your number one. I'm not going to assume that you want to talk. You might just want to listen, and that's cool with us. But I did forget to say, if you probably heard it when you called in, but if you want to ask a question, that person has put their hand down, I think. Let's see. No, they didn't. If you want to ask a question to either us or Nadia, hit your number one, and it'll let me see that you have a question. But other than that, I won't know. So I'll connect this caller now. Let's see. 408, can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you? Welcome.
Thank you. I'm actually doing better than most, worse than a few. How about you?
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh,
well.
I like that. Would you say that again? I like that. That's cool.
No, I was just saying I'm doing better than most, worse than a few. And I said, how about you?
Oh, right. I'm trying to write that down so I could remember that. So when somebody asks me that same thing, I'm going to
show
out
act like she came up with it. Yeah,
yes,
right.
Hey, look at ladies. You know, we can get inspiration anywhere. You know, and you take the inspiration and make it your own, baby. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. What question do you
have?
Yeah.
So we.
A comment.
I ain't got no kind of questions, you know what I'm saying? But I got some things I want to say because, you know, my heart's overflowing because this
nervous.
Kid be knowing.
Well,
you know, I'd be knowing about
hey,
what
I'm a little nervous,
about.
But okay.
No, don't be nervous.
Well,
be
go
nervous.
Ahead and tell
and
us.
Please, by no means, I don't want you to be shy either, you know. We got no time for that.
Oh,
we got no
God.
Time for that.
What you about to say? What,
I know,
what are you going to say, sir?
I know. Look, be easy, okay? I thought we were going to be gentle and sweet.
I'm
here.
Trying.
Hold on for a second.
I got my hand right on.
All right.
I've got it right here to just cut this mic down
okay.
off. If you, all right.
I know what it's like to have an assault placed upon the existence of the love inside of my heart. I understand this. You understand? Every time there is an assault placed upon that existence of the love inside of my heart, it always proves to me one thing. And first and foremost, it is genuine, true love. And that puts a big old smile back on my face so I can keep on doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes folk be saying things and doing things that don't line up with the truth that's in my heart. So,
okay.
You know what I mean? And sometimes
I'm trying
you know,
to know
when you okay. Sometimes when someone's talking to you, and you got to filter because you got to filter what they're saying. Otherwise, you're just open for any old thing. So you got to have a little discernment about what you listen to, so that when you speak to the people, you give them something that they need, not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And sometimes these people can't handle the truth. You understand? But
what's
you give it to them in love. So to them in love. So when they open up their heart to you, because the handle to the heart is on the inside. There's only one handle. So if they open up themselves to you, you don't want them running away from you. You don't want them fighting with you. You want to make a deposit of love into the love bank.
Right. Okay.
Okay. You got your finger on the trigger, right?
I do, but I'm trying to, because I'm trying to hear a point with this, and I get where you're coming from, but I do. I have my hand
okay,
on it.
Okay, so you were talking about
know.
Feelings earlier, right? You guys were talking about feelings, right? How important feelings are, right?
Not really, but
I thought
go
I
ahead.
Heard somebody talking about, you said feelings are important, you know? You got to pay attention to people's feelings because, you know, they'd be going through some stuff, you know what I mean? You said that.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
Okay. I understand. I'm an ex-con too. I got 17 years behind the wall. You know, I ain't talking like I don't know what I'm talking about. You guys got me mixed up. You understand? But listen.
Okay.
So,
sure.
My feelings about what I go through. My feelings about what I'm going through. If I want to make myself not stressed out so much, I just cut everybody off on the outside and just do my time. And then when I get out, I just pick up where I left off. You understand? But so a lot of people don't want to do it that way in prison. Some people, they'll have an old lady and everything, and they go through the whole process of all that. Other guys, they just do their time, you know. They do their time, and they get out, and they whatever, you know. But I understand the feelings that go along with both sides of that. I can see the feeling part about, you know, how you might be irritated by listening. If I was doing a life sentence, I wouldn't want my celly in there talking about crying about 15 years that you got to do. 15 years ain't nothing, son. I ain't trying to listen to none of that. I don't want that around me. That's going to bring me down, man. I ain't trying to do that. So we're going to cut that
right.
stuff off. We ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that. So and that's okay. That's okay. You got to respect people's
right.
space, man. People got they got their own space, you know, and you got to respect that when you come into someone's
mm-hmm.
space. You can't be disrespecting everybody because you
well,
want to talk about what you know.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I do. You have to be mindful of the people around you and what you say and don't say, and you don't want to hurt people's feelings. I mean, you got life, I got 2 years,
no.
And we can't compare. But this is what I'm going to do. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for sharing. I don't want you to go. I want you to hang out. But I'm going to close your mic down because
right.
we have other people. But thank you.
Okay.
Don't leave.
Yeah, cool.
Please
cool.
don't leave.
Yeah. I'm hanging out.
Okay. So I'm going to pause break for a minute because I want to bring in, and thank you, Nadia. Please hang out with us. This queue is so full. You have a lot of supporters. And just
Yay.
Please keep us posted on your music and what you have coming up. And just please, and we can do this all over again, part two. And I can't wait to listen to this song later when I'm alone. I'm serious. Your song is like
right.
that. You know, I want to hear it by myself.
Thank you.
I don't necessarily want to share it with the crowd. I want to hear it. You're very welcome. And thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you for making that for us. It's an inspiration. And we're not alone. It's proof that we're not alone. What I'm going to do, because I want
right.
Umar to come in, and I want you to hang out too, Nadia, because I want your input on this as well. I'm going to close everyone's mic. And I'm just going to step away for a second. Well, not really, but I don't know what's going on.
Have you ever felt so strong that
Welcome back, everyone. I played that song. I'm not going to cry. Okay, so when we were on the tier, right, and I say us because we're doing time too. You guys do time, we're doing it too, period. So when we were on the tier, I never understood why it's on the tier as opposed to in the tier program, but on the tier. So when we were placed on the tier, it was like a Thursday. I want to say it was like the end of the week. I know he's listening. And so I had radio that Saturday. Thank God I had a host because I was so distraught about the tier that I couldn't even think. I'm crying. I'm screaming. But I did radio that Saturday. And I say that to say to you ladies, I know it's hard, but find your balance and remember your strength because it's not going to kill you. It's not. It's going to be hard some days. But you can make it through that. And like Sis and I said, if you need us, we're here for you. Just we're only an inbox away. But that day when the counselor said he's in on tier one, and I knew exactly what she meant. So I hollering, oh, my God. And then it was like a Thursday, I think. Since I don't even know what the topic was. I don't know even what I said on the radio that day. But I got through it. We got through it. And he wrote me or something and gave me that song. And that song is what kind of got me through. I'm not a huge Alicia Keys fan. I like her. She's cool. But that song did it for me because it got me through. She's from where I'm from. That's the only thing that kind of, like, makes me like her extra. Like, more, but she's not a big deal for me. We're from the same place, but she's talented. But that song got me through. That tear almost killed me. Killed us. Check me out. Killed me. Like, I was physically in there, right? I know he's listening. I know he's shaking his head because I wasn't in there physically, but that's how we feel, sis, right? That's how we feel. We feel like, you know, we're doing it too. And so you have to find your ways to get through those struggles. And this song really got me through. So yeah, just find your, you know, find those things that you need to pull yourself through those struggles because it won't last forever and you'll get through it. And you are strong. You are beautiful. You are talented. So Nadia, I don't have your microphone on right now, but I will put it back on. But what I need to do is I'm going to, 912, I'm going to connect you now. I'm not sure how you feel about that because I know you're not feeling that great, but your mic is on. And Umar, your mic is on. And please forgive my manners. I am so sorry. Assalamu alaikum. I'm so, so sorry. The both of you, I apologize. Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay. Okay. I want you both
Hey,
to...
bro.
Hey, sis.
I want to, those of us who are advocates, you know, we think we know. Sometimes we really don't know. And we have to get this from the horse's mouth. We have to get this from you guys. So I'm going to ask one more first. I've noticed your knowledge and how knowledgeable you are about the various protocols as far as GDP is concerned. But we want to know, and again, since COVID, a lot of the people that we would recommend, hey, call so-and-so, email so-and-so, it's like they've disappeared. You guys, we're hearing about all these empty rules and stuff. Okay, true, but the people that we used to have to call on, they're gone. We don't know if they quit. We don't know if they're just hiding out because of COVID, if that's, you're using that as an excuse. I don't know. But we don't have anyone anymore to say, hey, go to so-and-so, call so-and-so. Tell me, Umar and Taqwa, both of you, one at a time. Explain to us, the listeners, specifically our ladies who want to help their men. When there is a complaint, something serious happens, like a death, i.e. a death, injury, what does the family need to do, like, immediately? What is the first step? Something bad happened. There's so many different situations, but we're hearing grievances. We're hearing, well, what can the family, who does the family need to call? I know what I would do, but see, again, those people are gone. I don't know where they've gone. I don't know what happened to them. Those, you know, what I had in place is like it's disrupted now because those people are gone. So, Umar, you first, like, what do we do as a family? Something bad happened. Who do we go to?
First off, this man. Can you hear me?
Barely.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
What about now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me? Okay, cool. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I can hear you. You're welcome.
First and foremost, it's to be understood that as our loved ones, try not to panic. It's kind of hard to disperse information or retain information when you're distraught. And we understand that as a woman, and it takes a special kind of woman to actually be a soldier for a person that's incarcerated. And like you were just saying, it was something like the TEAR program. And you walking around crying and panicking more than your loved one probably is. But I think the first thing to do is first is not panic. And then the very next thing you should do is try to contact the prison. Now, the problem with contacting the prison is that with it being so short of staff, you just get ring, 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 ring until the phone don't ring anymore. Or at best, you'll get put on hold for so long that you'll probably end up just hanging up. But if your loved one has received an injury, you get worried that your loved one has received an injury or a possible death like that. It was a situation that happened where I'm at, where matter of fact, my cousin had we thought he was having a heart attack, which ended up being an asthma attack, and he was on lockdown. And he sent word out to the compound around 10:45, and didn't actually receive any help till like 1:45 that morning. And the only way he received help is that we had to have someone on the outside actually call the sheriff department in the town, the county that we're incarcerated at, and had them dispatch a police car. You see what I'm saying? Because there's really no remedy for the shortage of staff. Like, we can't make anybody just fill out applications all of a sudden and want to get jobs at prison. So, like, at best, if you worry like that and you need to get some information, you need to find out. And one of the most important things that our loved ones need to know is that the prisons and hospitals, they will not give out any information to someone who is not one immediate family, meaning that they're on the significant other visitation list. And two, you're an official power attorney. So, you know, sometimes we have to go through other measures, like having the name of a loved one that's on the visitation list and poses them. If they can't get their family to call, and you, like the girlfriend or prison wife, has to make this call and she's not on the visitation list, she has to use the name of someone that's on the visitation list to even get somebody to even give you information about your loved one. And once we start getting past that stage, like that really is the breakthrough. But like, I'm just going to be honest, you call these prisons, there's no one picking up these phones. So the next step is try to call the local hospital, or if you need somebody to get to dispatch some help to a particular dormitory, wherever your loved one is at, if he's been sick or injured or possibly stabbed or something like that has happened, you know, you have to go ahead and just bite the bait and tell them, like, look, you know, I'm going to have to get the police involved, and whatever contraband you may have, you might want to get rid of to put it up. But if you really, really, really sincerely need help, you know, that's the measure that has to be taken. And which is also another point, is that, you know, for the inmates that's listening, the incarcerated brothers, know that these women are going beyond the call of duty of being a woman. Like, they're going beyond the norm. It's like Mocha said, you know, she's being extraordinary being with someone that's incarcerated. So make sure your issue is a real serious issue, and you're not just taking that help for granted. Because if you stunt, you know, it's like the little boy who cried wolf. After a while, that help is going to leave you. But again, to the women, is, you know, just being properly educated. You know, knowing, like, okay, first, don't panic. First step, call the prison and make sure that I'm either on the visitation list or use the name of someone that's on the visitation list. And if that's not working, then, you know, the next step is they actually need help or need someone it's short of staff. It's dangerously short of staff. You know, you got one officer running 2 to 3 buildings, and each building contains anywhere between 2 to 4 dormitories. You see what I'm saying? Some of them have 6 dormitories inside one building. But, you know, it's massively understaffed. So the police can't be everywhere. The officers can't be everywhere at one time. So, like, we really need to get somebody's attention you know, that method worked for us. We called the county jail and told them to dispatch a car to the particular prison that we was at.
Wow.
And they sent the car down there, and that's what made the people. Also, if you can, like, whenever you do go to visitation and you get to meet wardens, when your loved one tell you, oh, that's the warden, that's the head lieutenant, that's the deputy warden, talk to those people. Those people will give you their personal phone number sometimes. You see what I'm saying? Those duty officers, they'll give you that personal phone number and save those numbers. You see what I'm saying? Because even though they might be off duty, you call their personal number and let them know that, hey, this is such and such. And I remember when we talked at visitation, I got your number. And look, man, I just got word that my loved one, so-and-so, was going through this, and this was going down at the prison, and somebody needed to get to such and such and help those people. That's how bad is that guy. So, like I said, just first not panicking.
But you know what? That's hard. Well, but that's hard. Hey, listen. And I've been told this so many times. That not panicking is probably not going to happen. We're going to panic. That's just all there is to it. We may know how to get through it calmly, but on the inside, we're screaming. And being professionals, you know, we know how to, not everybody, but, you know, handle ourselves on phone calls, whatever have you. But everybody doesn't have that in them to do that. And I'm knocking anybody or judging, but everyone doesn't have that, that fake comment. A lot of those ladies calling in, you know, hollering and stuff, we know not to do that. But on the inside, we are going to panic. To tell us not to panic, I don't know about that. I know. Here, true. You're right. I shouldn't have panicked. But how could I not? How could I not? And also, not saying anything against what you just said, I appreciate it, but we're going to panic as females and loved ones, the loves of these men, we're going to panic, and that's just all there is to it. It just depends on how you handle it. Also, nowadays, and I don't know if you know this on your end, Omar, but nowadays when you call the prison, it's no longer the prison. It's not the prison that's picking up. So, yeah, press one for this, press two for that, press three. I want to say it's four that you really have to, GDC, it's four that you have to press to get a live person, and that's not necessarily the prison. That's like in an office somewhere. They will hear the concern, and then depending on the concern, then they'll transfer it to the prison. So nowadays, you're calling these camps, it's not the camp. Back in the day, you'd be called and hey, can I speak to counselor so-and-so? Can I speak to, it doesn't happen like that anymore. So, now, I didn't know that calling the cops is just something that people can do if they're in that much of a panic, and the police will go and it'll get someone's attention. That I didn't know. It makes sense, but nowadays, I don't know. It's not the prison that's picking up. It is GDC, but it's not, I can't speak for other states, but it's definitely not inside the prison.
Wow.
And you know for sure, because a lot of times you call the prison, you hear them, they sound crazy, they sound unprofessional, now when you hear it, it's different now, like, hello, so-and-so, like, wait a minute, you know it's not the prison. And then you have to tell them what you
want.
Then depending on what it is, then they will switch you to the prison. Or if it's not what they think it is, or if it's not important enough, then they'll relay a message to the prison for you. So who you're calling,
I have an idea.
If you look up Hancock or Smith, it's not them. What's that?
One of the things that, and I just had an issue, it says, you know how I do, I got to always go around the circle.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I do advise everyone to do, two things. I'm not a lawyer. By no means, I'm not a lawyer. But what I do know, just by speaking to a couple of lawyers down there and as well as lawyers in my home state, GDC is only responsible for physical control and custody of a person. Which means that I would suggest, I wouldn't suggest this lightly, but to those who are wives, long-term girlfriends, fiancés, even to moms and fathers, I would suggest having a power of attorney that allows you to be able to act on their behalf and to be able to act on their behalf. I had a situation once before in which, they did a lot. They were trying to do a lot. And because I had power of attorney over top of him, When I hired my attorney became his attorney. So that we put them in a bind where they like, okay, we got to do this lady say, or we getting ready to get our hell sued out of us. So make sure that you do that. And another thing, the prisons that you're in, you have Northeast, Southeast regions, they have regional managers that are there. Regionals do not like to be called, but they will point you to the right direction. And I have done that myself. One Southwest region, we have Scotty Crickmar, I believe, and he's really good. His team is really good with getting you the information that you need. But I would advise everyone to look up your loved one's prison in Georgia. Look up your loved one's prison. Find out who, and you can go to the GDC website, and they'll tell you what regions. They break it down by region. So find out who the regional director is, and then I have to call, and then they call down to the prison. They shot an email out like, hey, we got to get this. And before, I'm going to say in about 15 minutes after that email was sent by the regional, that's when I got the phone call back.
Wow. Good enough.
That's interesting.
I never knew that you get an automated system.
Well, most of the time, when you call directly to the prison, you're probably going to get that. You're going to get a lot of red tape. You're going to get a lot of runaround. But when you do
it's
that,
like
you call, you find regional, you find them, and you tell them, hey, I've tried to call the prison. I don't know how many times I need this information. I need to do this, blah, blah, blah. And usually they do that. I did that recently. I got a call back in 15 minutes from both the deputy warden and the warden secretary.
But that power of attorney is very important. And I didn't trust the form that we had that was given by the prison. I just didn't trust it. So I actually had an attorney look at it to make sure that to make sure that it was legitimate, and it is. But I just didn't trust it. But if you have access to an attorney or somebody that knows an attorney, try to if you can. I mean, you know, I know it's, you know, you're thinking in terms of money, but this is serious. Having an attorney or someone that you can consult with for legal issues, that's very, very important. The fact that I was able to just call someone and just say, hey, can you look at this to make sure it's legitimate? You know, that's important. But no, you cannot call the prisons anymore and get the prison. It just doesn't work like that. But yeah, the regional director, that's very important. So I saw you mention, I'm sorry, Takwa, you want to say anything? I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Do you have any comment?
I'll save it for a little bit later.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Just to co-sign
some of the things that's been said, though, with Shell, you know, these people are regular people. You know, they shirk their job and the responsibilities just like any other people. And a lot of times to get things, shooken up, you have to go above their head and let it rain, you know, let it rain down. And you have to be, you know, assertive enough to, you know, to make that managing supervisor, you know, get on this dude's tail, because, you know, these people play golf together. They're part of social fraternities together. At the time, I was told by an officer at the time when I was on the peer program at a particular camp that the Z team, which is the officers especially assigned to move people around on the peer program, that there were 30 members of the Ku Klux Klan at that particular camp. And so, you know, you have to realize what you're dealing with in a real sense, not idealistically. We have to use the ideal to make the real happen. So, you know, what are you going to do really when there are 30 members of the Klan or the Masons or Q or whatever, group of organization, you're trying to get relief from some type of injustice, and they're covering each other's backs. So this is why we have to use more aggressive tactics, in my opinion. And, you know, I call those tactics guerrilla advocacy, just like guerrilla warfare. But, I agree with everything that's been said so far, though.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. Okay, so, well, you guys know, like we said,
we're not, you can't just call the prison anymore. That's definitely not like it used to be. And so now, without us not being able to call, okay, like Sis said, find out who the regional director is. I guess make a list of these people that you know, that you need to reach out to. And unfortunately, we're not getting answers anymore. I don't know what happened. The way you guys did, the booths are empty. We don't know what happened to these people that we used to depend on. It's like they're gone. So we can do it. We can do what you say, but then we can't get anybody to answer because they're not there, or they're purposely not answering because they're using COVID as an excuse. Then our hands are tied. Then how do we become, how is guerrilla warfare going to work then when there's
because
no one to speak
guerrilla
to?
Warfare, oh, I'm sorry. Guerrilla Warfare affords you the opportunity to go outside of the GDC, which is another way of making somebody's supervisor, you know, check the subordinate. For example, the local sheriff can be contacted. Like, say for example, if your loved one writes and this is not to be construed. Let me put my legal disclaimer out. This is not to be construed as legal advice. This is just one technique that has been, you know, used, you know, by a select few individuals that have, you know, received some results, is that the inmate wrote an affidavit. And, you know, our loved ones, and this is another problem too, Omar, that we forgot to mention, is that we have to, as inmates, we have to better educate ourselves. Because there's a lot of people who want to fight for us, but there are a lot of brothers who are wrong, are incapable of fighting for themselves. And that's a big problem in the GDC with illiteracy and with particular groups and organizations from the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're calling, you know, writing letters, writing affidavits, writing grievances. They call that snitching. So if, you know, if you're a member of a street organization that considers writing a grievance snitching or writing an affidavit snitching, you know, you could get stabbed for trying to, you know, receive, you know, legal relief. So this is another setback for, you know, for people that are incarcerated too. It's actually the inmates themselves on the inside. But you can contact the sheriff based upon that affidavit. The affidavit is a legal document. Once that person says in that, at the end of that affidavit, that I swear the aforesaid words are true under the penalty of perjury of law, that becomes legal. He doesn't even have to get it notarized. It's best if he does get it notarized, but it doesn't even have to be notarized after that. It's a legal document, and it can be used in court as official testimony. That affidavit can be mailed to your loved one. Your loved one takes out a warrant based upon the information in the affidavit for a particular crime. And the sheriff is obligated, whether he thinks it's some bull crap or not, to go down and at least serve the warrant and have these people, do a sign on a bond or something. So these types of things shake up the whole prison, because this is nobody I can control or finagle, or, you know, he has to do his job, and it's because I'm not doing my job. And they usually, in most cases, will tighten up, unless it's something frivolous. So you have to make sure that your loved one is not a crybaby too. It has to be a real problem, and it has to be actually illegal. And if he is not competent enough to discern that, either you or someone else is going to have to, be able to discern that. But
I have a question. When you get a chance.
Go ahead.
Finish. Okay,
go ahead.
No, man, it's okay. No.
Okay, I was just going to say one thing, and that was if Mocha will permit it, I would like to post a couple of OCJA laws so that people can see them and read them for themselves and recognize that, you know, these are things that you can call the police about on a person who works inside of a prison system. One of them is OCJA 42531. Which every warden and staff member is supposed to take this oath. And it says, I swear to uphold my duties to the best of my abilities without prejudice or malice and to uphold the U.S. and Georgia constitutions. So anytime it's a constitutional issue, a violation, or it's an issue of prejudice or malice and you can prove it, you can call the police. You don't have to go through no GDC SAP whatsoever. You can call the police because by the law, he's sworn oath to do his job, you know, without these particular attributes included, which is, you know, prejudice, malice, or violation of constitutional law.
Okay, well, you have permission to post that. You do.
Okay.
And you mentioned, because I know Umar had mentioned a while back on ILMGA about the families educating themselves. And I mentioned to him that, you know, a lot of the people, listen, I don't want to come off as being judgmental, but everybody's not, and I know me, I'm definitely not the sharpest knife, okay? You're going to have to tell me and spell it and show me and write it and tell me again that, you know, college or not. I mean, sometimes I'm not that swift. So you have a lot of people who want to know and don't have the capabilities are limited, if that makes sense. And so you also mentioned, Taqwa, about the inmates educating themselves too. Who's responsible for that if they just don't understand, if they don't get it? Who is the one, the people around them? Like, how, you know, because we have to depend on you guys to tell us certain things. If they just don't get it, how are we going to know? Who's going to tell them so that they can tell us?
Well, a very long time ago, there were these people called chain gang lawyers in prison. And you don't find very many of them anymore, believe it or not. You know, the prison world is its own subculture and it's a world within the world. And there used to be an economy, a certain economy of people who are articulate and knowledgeable about law, people who are who could work on, you know, electronics and things of that nature. But the intellectual level of prisoners is actually, the quota is going down. Seriously, you see less and less of these types of people nowadays. And some of the ones who have knowledge have shut up because the youth don't want to do it themselves. They want you to do it for them. You know, they want to cry. They want to come to you. They want to cry about it. When you start breaking down the steps to fix it, they don't want to do it, and they don't have the confidence maybe sometimes that their family can do it. So that's a very intricate situation, and it's kind of hard to say, you know, how do you fix that? The only way I can see is that there has to be, whether it's officially formulated and established by the government by request of the people, or a nonprofit group that, you know, it's like a watchdog group for the GDC. They need a watchdog group. These people have been covering up murders and beatings and rapes for years. This is before COVID-19 and the shortages. So when we're talking about seeking relief for particular issues, we have to remember the real element of the GDC. This is a very unique beast when it comes to incarceration. And it is, you know, I say from firsthand experience, it's very criminal in nature. You know, these good old boys, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not being racially discriminate against anyone, but, you know, these good old boys down here, they stick together, and the life of your loved one is not a very highly valued thing. So you have to be definitely assertive, and you can't be too trusting of staff. You have to grill them like they are what they are, you know.
Let me ask you both this, and I want Umar to go first. What do you suggest, because he's mentioned the guerrilla advocacy, and you both have, Umar mentioned in the education of we need to be more educated, and I know for sure that I deal with a lot of the families, and again, like I said, I'm not the sharpest. But I know some of them are not necessarily going to understand everything. What is your suggestion for pulling this all together? Is it the guerrilla advocacy? Is it that approach that we know can overtake the good old boy, if that's even possible? Like, what do we do? Because we realize that education is key.
the inmates have to be educated to know what to do, to know what to tell their families, as well as the families have to be educated as well. If everybody doesn't have that kind of capability, if you will. Like I said, I'm putting myself always out there first. I know in college, I partied real hard. Drunk a lot of liquor in college, my college days. So, you know, sometimes I'm slow, being honest. And I need that extra help. I need that extra push, you know, and I learned by doing more so than seeing. What do the families have to do to learn this information? I should have said it that way. What do the families have to do to learn this information? Who are they learning it from?
You leave the county jail and go to prison, and everybody knows it's going to diagnostics. And the first thing that they do, like once they get you settled in, they orientate the offender. And with that orientation, you receive that the offender receives the MA handbook. And in that MA handbook, it also has numbers like the ombudsman office, like the state ombudsman office, and they can educate you more on those particular things. It tells the exact grievance process. It also tells, you can use it to educate, and it's online, PDF. You go straight to GDC.com and ask for the GDC MA handbook. And in the table of contents, it'll tell you about the grievance process, and you go to it, I think it's page 21, and it tells you, it itemizes issues that are not grievable. You see what I'm saying? So it educates you on pretty much the policy. Like, it tells you that anything can be grieved except for these particular things, which they consider as privileges. You see what I'm saying? Also, you have a lot of watchdog groups on social media like Facebook, the MA Lives Matter, Georgia Chapter, Georgia Advocacy Group. You know, tap into those groups and try to filter out and siphon out, you know, the people who are pretty much official. Even if you had to talk to the moderators or administrators of those groups and find out, like, who are official lawyers or who are, because, you know, you have guys that just going there talking or looking for clout or whatever. Also, like, me personally, I decided to get proactive myself with the help of some people outside. But I started a group. I started a website, a nonprofit organization called righttoremainsilent.com. And it's to speak up for
that.
Yeah, righttoremainsilent.com is really a parole. It's a nonprofit organization. The unfair standard for parole, for life. Life is with parole, life is without parole. Juvenile life.
You're
fading
out.
I can hear you.
Okay,
what about now?
I can hear you.
Okay, yes, you ready?
Yes.
The main focus of Right to Remain Silent is to be a voice for those who have no voice, namely incarcerated individuals, people who can't speak out to public officials or government officials like that. We got to start finding a way to encourage, you know, our communities and our love. When I say community, I mean not just the people who share common interests. And when I say common interests, I mean people who've been to prison or people who have a loved one that's in prison. I mean, we got to start trying to get other people that don't have a common interest with the prison issue involved. We got to get regular civilians and ask them how do they feel if they were to have a loved one who may have made a mistake, and in the process of trying to redeem themselves for a mistake, they get put in a situation where they need to yell out or speak out, and they have no voice. They need somebody to speak out for them. So, I would suggest that, like, you know, we got all these different groups, individuals, and we talked about this one of the last shows, a few shows back, about collaborating. We got to, I heard this from an attorney, David Wolf. He said that, you know, people in here, you got inmates in here that's making all this money, and you got people who have loved ones that spend thousands, tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars on attorneys for a particular inmate. You see that? Not to fix a particular problem. See, what needs to happen is that we need to go ahead and start trying to get laws changed instead of saying, you know, just get my baby up out of there. Get my husband, get my brother up out of there. Okay,
right.
They're not
right.
gonna, Yeah, it's no favoritism. They're not gonna just let him out and then they find out, oh, Taquan Umar got out. You know, well, why didn't he let us out? You see what I'm saying? So like, we gotta start collaborating and we gotta start going and say, look, not just my loved one,
yeah,
but anybody that's going through this, these constant set offs, these injustices, you know, something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. Our commissioner, I didn't even know we had a commissioner, you see, but, like, we need to make him get involved. We need to start reaching out to those governors and city council and legislation.
Who? Okay. Well, let me ask you this. You mentioned, and you're correct, now, right now in the Lifers Group, the Lifers Coalition, we are working on, well, about to work on trying to get a bill passed because we realize that it's going to take that in order to make change. It's not about just making calls and complaining and crying. You know, politics has to get involved. But you mentioned collaboration with other groups. You're talking about, so you're saying that all the advocates, all the organizations need to basically make a cohesive effort. If, I don't know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Come together.
One thing that they fear. One thing that they fear in the Department of Corrections is numbers.
It's numbers.
See, when they see a whole bunch of people all for the same cause, they get scared to death. It don't matter that people are right or wrong or what they're saying.
Check this out. And I promise you I didn't mean to cut you off, but I've got to get this in before I forget it. When I came into this, when I made a decision to create Image Lives Matter Georgia, so green, so happy, wanted everybody to get along, right? So wanted to help the world. Then I realized that every advocate is not created equal. A lot of them are in it for the wrong reasons. And it is really difficult nowadays to find groups that you can collaborate with who are sincere. Inmates Lives Matter Georgia, and my sister's listening, we're not perfect. We're flawed because people are flawed. Only God is perfect, but we are sincere. I cannot begin to tell you how many groups I've come across over the last 7 years or so in this fight who are not sincere. And it's so hard to collaborate with individuals who are not sincere. That's, to me, one of the major problems. Yeah, I think groups are great. Numbers are great. Numbers are, you know, there's you know, power in numbers. However, you know, it's hard to get together with individuals who are dirty, who have no, you know, their best interest is not what our best interests are. And I'm telling you, we are the most sincere people in the world. We're not perfect. We don't do everything right. And I've been told this behind the scenes by attorneys, people who I trust. You guys are so sincere. And I do, and I'm honored about that. But everybody's not sincere, Omar. So how do we get together with these people to form this group, these groups of numbers, if you will, and they not right? Then what?
I mean, it's just something that it's just like saying, okay, you met this guy that was behind the wall, and you took a chance, you took a leap of faith in him, and you said, okay, well, I'm gonna trust that he's not gonna trick me out of all my money, and he's not gonna just use me up and try to ask for nude pictures or whatever inmates want from a female. It's just something that we, because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
The time and the aggravation that we have to sacrifice trying to filter those sincere ones and insincere ones out. It's worth it. It's going to be worth it in the end when your loved one walk through those gates and jump in your arms. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to look at, like, major landmark cases. Like, we know about Brown versus the Board of Education. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm quite sure when they were trying to integrate schools in the 60s, there was a whole bunch of people trying to stop them. You had counterintelligence. Like, you had groups that was posing to be with the movement, but it really wasn't with the movement. But you got to proceed on. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep pushing forward. And hopefully, inshallah, you know, you get enough numbers of sincere people or you sincere enough to get that help. You see what I'm saying? So, like, and you got to look at that goal. Like, Brown versus the Board of Education is a landmark case that's going to be remembered forever. So just think about your name being that landmark case saying, like, okay, when they talk about parole or talk about this particular reform in prison or parole, when they say the name of that movement is my movement, my name, or our movement and our name, you got to get people that seeking that type of power. See, even if even if they're not sincere in it, I know one thing that everybody loves that's chasing clout for those unsincere people, insincere people, they like fame. They like their name to be in big, bright lights. You see what I'm saying? And let them know, you got to encourage that. Like, look, you know, we get this done, like, we go down in history, like, long, like, hundreds and hundreds of years later, you know, people that still know this case. Even if it get overturned, they still have to use it as a landmark case. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, you just got to just pray on it and just make sure your heart is pure and pray for people. Pray for the type of help or the
right.
people that help your heart, like yours.
Yeah. Great answer. That's perfect. Thank you. Because I'm so disgruntled. Like, I don't want to even – it's so hard for me to even want to even attempt to work with individuals because I know, you know, what I've seen. But you're right. You got to pray on it and take a chance because, you know – It's taking chances, basically. Trial and error. So I got you on that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Taco, do you have anything?
I think my wife,
I'm not sure who's talking to who. So let me see.
Complete that and come home and... So, like, you know, sometimes you're going to meet people that are haters. Like you said, the people that judge you for having a boyfriend or a husband or career. And sometimes you're going to have people that's going to be encouraging.
Okay, because you had kind of faded out a little bit, and I wasn't sure if you were talking to us or somebody behind you because you kind of faded. Try to repeat that, whatever you just said. I apologize.
I said that, you know, it's just like the same way, the way my loved one, my queen, she took a chance in me. She took a chance with me, and you took a chance with Taqua. And, you know, like, along the way, like you just said earlier in the earlier segment, that, you know, along the way, you had people that judged you. You had haters. And then you also had people that encouraged you. And you had people that were like you. And the people that are like you, y'all formed a sisterhood. You see what I'm saying? And the ones that are not with it, they kind of say, you, hey, well, look, you need to go on over there with those people. But take that same chance because, Like you took the chance to be with this guy, you know, and help him do his time. Take the chance to see it out to his completion. You see what I'm saying? For him to come run out and jump in your arms, I promise you, that's going to be the most beautiful feeling in the world for the both of y'all, especially when you know the type of work that you put in to help him get that.
Yeah. Did you hear that, Papa?
Yeah, I agree with him 100%. I agree with him 100%.
Okay.
And I also like to say, too, for the non, because, you know, there are people who are just humanitarian, and they want to see, you know, change in prisons because they recognize that, you know, human rights are being violated. And they don't have anybody in prison, but they're still fighting. And that's a very noble thing, you know. They don't even have nobody in prison that they're in a relationship with, and they're still fighting. They're still expending their resources, and that's what
true.
You do when you believe in the cause.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, he's right that we have to get laws changed, and really to piggyback off of something that he said, when it comes to getting people who are not, you know, necessarily, you know, interested in our cause to get on the bandwagon, right now there's a very big movement behind the police and justice, and as a society, we've turned a blind eye for so many years against, you know, police and not just police adjustments, but we've allowed our politicians, police officers, law enforcement, et cetera, to put a different value of life on their lives than on ours. Now, we pay their bills, we pay their salaries, and they took this job and they take these oaths to protect us, but when they get into position, they make their lives better than ours. An officer gets killed. They tear up the whole neighborhood. They tear up the whole state. They got roadblocks everywhere. A woman gets killed by a deranged boyfriend or a husband, mugger or robber. That's not going on. So why are you expending these resources for this officer, but you won't expend them for this young lady who was a victim of some depraved man? Her life is just as valuable as his. And it's our fault because we allowed them to do it. And part of it is a programming. We've been programmed to fear the police and fear authority. Some of it through old enacted regimens like quote unquote Willie Lynch theory, or just the things that we've experienced through.
I'm not clear on that.
Through the racial.
I need you to back up on that. Give me a second on that. I need you to go back to Willie Lynch, what you said prior to that, and continue. Please,
God, I know you're a Pan-African. I know you're a Pan-African freedom fighter.
Hey, now.
And I'm
a
not trying to, turn this into, a racial thing at all.
I didn't say, I know you're not. And here's the deal. It's just that I didn't really catch it. All I heard was Willie Lynch.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm
just want you to, because you got to be, I believe in being careful with wording. And that's serious. And so just back up a little and continue. I just want to make sure I heard what you said correctly. Yeah, no big deal.
Okay. For the sake of time, you know, and clarity, real briefly, please excuse the choppiness of what I'm about to say. It takes a lot to take a man who is naturally willing to die defending his children and die defending his wife, or die defending himself, and turn him into a being who's willing to watch his children die, watch his woman be raped and killed, and his brother, or even submissively, be his fate himself to a man. And a part of the psychological conditioning that was performed amongst the slave population were things like tying pregnant women to trees, cutting the woman open, killing the fetus in front of a crowd of slaves.
Right.
Any man who ran up was automatically mowed down and killed. And this conditioning, psychologically, resets the mind of the people. But some of us still carry that today. We are submissive to our servants.
How can we not?
Huh?
Right. Submissive to our servants.
Yeah. I mean, some of us don't. Some of us don't have that.
No.
You know, we understand. You're a public servant. It's your job to serve me. Without me, you would have no job, and that's not the attitude that we have against the police. Police are not just the bad guys. Judges, council members, all of these people are guilty of this because they all do it. If they hear about a particular incident and it's one of their people inside of their close circle, social circle, it's going to be this way. If it's any of us, the hardworking, taxpaying citizens, people who are suffering, that's not the case, and it's our fault because we live in a society that gives us and empowers us to change this, but we're asleep, and we want to be like sheep, and we want somebody else to fix it, and it takes a lot. Whether it's it takes a lot to be the person that says, no matter what the consequence, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to see this through. But that's what it's going to
Everybody
take.
Everybody doesn't have the kind of courage. And I just
no
right. So but I need you to tie in. I need you to connect because I'm missing something. Something is missing for me.
Okay.
I need you to connect.
I'm sorry.
Prayer.
Okay.
Wait.
My whole point was simply that we come together like the brother said, and we tell the people what laws we want changed, and there are a lot of people who are oppressed by the current system that we live under. And even though they don't care about some robber or some murderer or rapist or, frequent traffic violator, in prison, they care about that. So their cause becomes our cause. And so we unify based upon common ground. Like we don't necessarily have to, yell prison, prison, prison in order to get a law enacted that benefits prisoners. You see what I'm saying? It's about because it really is bigger than it's about the human issue. It's not the prison issue. The bigger issue is the human issue. These people are people. They are lives and souls, and they have rights. And you just can't do them any kind of way because of one incident in their life that they may or may not be guilty of. Because we have a very faulty judicial system. So whether it's me or them, our lives have value too, and we want you to. As a matter of fact, I believe we should have laws enacted that actually makes council members, judges, police officers, et cetera, more responsible for the law. They shouldn't get less time. They should get twice the amount of time that that we have. Because not only have you studied this and you know this, but you've taken an oath and our money to support this and enact this.
I think there's a part two that's necessary for this. And the guerrilla warfare needs to be expounded on, not now necessarily, but that's something that's important. But I am going to end this show. I think we've said everything that we need to say. Nadia, can you hear me? Nadia.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you. I meant for you to come in on that, but I realized that that might not, it's okay. Thank you for hanging out with us, and you really didn't have to, and I do appreciate you so much. I love your music.
You're welcome.
I think
you're
the best. I'm not far from you. We need to have lunch because I'm right down the street from where you at, where you work. And I'm serious. But please keep us posted on your career, everything that you're doing, because your inspiration to us is everything. Those words are everything to us, and thank you, okay?
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You're so, so welcome. I'm going to end this show. And everyone, thank you so much for joining us. My sis, I'm not sure what happened. I don't know if she's there,
right,
but
here.
She's not there. But
I'm right here.
Oh, you here? Can you hear me?
Oh,
okay.
I've been writing and taking notes. No, I've been listening, writing, taking notes. You know what my brother talks. You know everybody got to listen to that.
Thank
you.
That's
good.
I'm happy about that. So thank y'all. I appreciate
thank
it, bro.
You.
It's always, a
you're
pleasure
welcome.
To hear
thank
from
you,
bro.
For that.
Always.
Thank you. Thank you, sis, for saying that about him. Listen, it's time to go. And keep us posted on the music and everything you got going on, Nadia.
Yes,
we love
ma'am.
You. We love you all desperately.
Thank you.
And
love
we'll
you
see
you
guys
you.
Again at some point, inshallah.
Thank
later.
You.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.